This week on the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast, we talk about The Rise of Skywalker coming out on Blu-ray and digital. It came out early to give everyone a bit of relief from what's going on around the world. We take a break from our overall discussion of the Duel of the Fates. Part 3 will be coming up in our next episode, but we're all back together talking about The Rise of Skywalker, the special features, the documentary, what we took away, and what we learned from the new release of this final film in the Skywalker saga. All that and more on the Droids. Welcome back to the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Alongside Chris, Ryan, and Sam, I am Mike. What has happened since we last spoke? There's been a changing of the guard. I think I saw it best. You know, basically Palpatine's back, but he's in the form of a virus. So he's doing his work. And sadly, here we all are.
Well, the last time, well, not the last time, but the time before that, we were all together recording in person. We are certainly not doing that now.
Wait, Ryan, didn't you need a lot of tea because you were coughing?
That was before everything. That was before everything.
Wait, are we sure, guys? I don't know about this.
I don't even like joking about this.
I was just going to say, am I out of line here?
Way out of line. Watch yourself, counselor.
I heard Order 66 has been canceled.
Oh.
In all seriousness, from the droids, this is serious. You know, wherever you are, we hope that you and yours are healthy and that you're, you know, chances are, if you're listening, that you're in some kind of, isolation quarantine situation, and we hope that you're doing well with that and that you're staying healthy and safe there.
Yeah, stay healthy, stay safe. We hope that our voices don't drive you mad if you are in quarantine. I myself am in quarantine.
You should
quarantine.
Talk to my wife.
hopefully our voices will soothe the ails of the world right now, but... thanks for joining
us. That's a tall order, Chris. I don't know. Look, we're not promising anything.
That's a tall glass of blue milk.
Chris, you did have a great suggestion.
As warm as a fried tip yip to your ears.
You had a great suggestion, though. If you run out of singing happy birthday when washing your hands, you can just list any Star Wars character or try to think of as many as you can.
There you go. It's a fun game. Yeah, that's a great idea.
What's weird to me about that is that, like, does no one know how to count to 20? Is it that boring?
lose focus.
Also, I've seen so many things that make me wonder, how were people washing their hands before?
Oh, I never did.
Oh, I will share upsetting stories, which is that multiple people I work with shared the story of, like, being in the men's or the women's room we actually have gender neutral bathrooms, but like people still kind of adhere to like one tends to be the like it's still kind of binary, even though they're like technically gender neutral.
Yeah, like anyway, a one and a two.
But like both
Batman on bathrooms.
But both people I work with who use both bathrooms had other people in the building on like the floor we use like make comments like, "Ugh, I guess we really gotta wash our hands now." And that's like, this changed my behavior like in like almost no way except that like I do wash my hands like longer because I'm actively like counting it out.
But yeah, my hands are only bone now.
But it's
need a Bacta tank to
What you're saying is you're Palpatine at the beginning of The Rise of Skywalker where his fingers are falling off.
I literally started sleeping with gloves on.
Oh, yeah.
I saw a special on TV the other day. They said, when you wash your hands, make sure you get your fingers. And I was like, who's only washing their palms? And I'm not making light of this situation. I understand washing hands or not. People are at high risk. It's not like washing our hands is the only thing that, like, it's not like it's going to prevent anyone from getting it. But what I'm saying is, for someone to say on a show aimed at adults, make sure you wash your fingers when you wash your hands, I was like,
what's going
70%
on?
Of the hand.
That's most of the hand. You can't even say you washed your hands unless you washed the fingers.
That's like if you took a shower and someone said, like, make sure you get your arms.
I feel like if Seinfeld was doing a bit right now, it'd be this bit.
Yeah, exactly. This would be a good...
What's the deal with fingers?
What are they? Do they fing? What are they? Your toes don't toe.
They're not gers.
Well, we do all hope everyone is safe out there. Please enjoy the pod. Go back, listen to some of the episodes. If you feel like we are soothing, you know, go ahead and listen to as many in a row as you want. And go through all of our rewatches of all the films. We've got our Last Jedi instant reaction from, what, 2 years ago now? Our Rise of Skywalker instant reaction. The Solo instant reaction. Oof, that's maybe my favorite one of them all. And many, many other great episodes that you can listen to in the back catalog.
As news slows down, like, are we going to get to a point where we're ranking our favorite episodes of this podcast?
Yes.
Yes.
And on another Best of the Droids.
Spoiler alert. Yeah, mine's the episode 3 rewatch.
We have like a commentary. Clip shows? We should do commentary.
Hey, Ryan, can you start doing clip shows?
Hey, that reminds me of that one time.
Oh, jeez, no, the freezer door just locked behind me. This reminds me of that one time.
Well, I mean.
Hey, speaking of Lego.
Someone did make a great point. Basically, all our lives are bottle episodes right now.
Yeah, that's true.
We're all in a bottle episode. We're not going anywhere. We don't have another set. We don't have another scene. We're in one place.
Well,
hopefully we have another scene.
Has Wings ever done a bottle episode?
Oh, everyone was basically a bottle episode. They're only in the airport.
Yeah, they're stuck on Nantucket, right?
They're just on the island.
Is there one where they're waiting to take off? There is, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And there's also one where they're waiting to land.
Well, that's a little more urgent.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
like
they're running into problems with the engine.
Episode.
And they're all in black tie, so they're trying to go to Helen's debut in the Boston Symphony
Orchestra. Oh, my God, I do remember that.
Yeah. All right. You know what? The Wings talk always gets it back to feeling good, right?
Let's get back in it. And let us know how you're handling this with Star Wars. Is it your comfort movie? You got it on in the background 24/7. I know I kind of dug into it this weekend a little bit.
Chris, I want to hear about that.
Follow us on at DroidsPod on Instagram, at DroidsPod on Twitter, DroidsPod@gmail.com. Send us an email. Let us know what you're thinking. And as always, if you like the pod, don't like the pod, just or anything, rate, write, review us on iTunes,
you know
Stitcher.
What? In this anxiety-filled time, I'm going to say, if you don't like the pod, keep it to yourself.
Oh, yeah. All right, it's all or nothing. We're in Mad Max rules now, so guess what? If you don't like the pod, you can still review us, but don't review us.
You can really tell that Perfect. Chris wanted to move the show along by getting into the full read.
I'm disinterested in moving the show along.
We will also, as we've said in previous podcasts, we will read your reviews on this show. So if you write a new review, good or bad, we will read it out loud. Now, from Ryan's...
Do we have one?
Right.
Don't we have one?
I think we do. Do we have one? I mean, I don't know that it came in during the window where we first introduced this whole thing about doing this, but why not?
Say we read it, yeah.
I think we need to, at this point, read the most recent review.
We got
to
read it. We're going to not read it on a technicality.
You know, I do have to say, this review, though, came in what is essentially a different world. You know, I don't know if this person's perspective might have changed since we no longer live in the same existence.
And I think this is a great review, and we really appreciate it. This is a review from, should I say a screen name?
Yeah.
His screen name is Pat Tro. Yeah, I guess it's public. It's a review. The review says, I can't click the whole review.
Read the first part.
All right. No,
it was ellipsis.
All right. From Pat Tro, well, thank you. They said, they make me want to start a podcast. I may not agree with some of their opinions, but it doesn't deter me from listening. Great Star Wars coverage from a bunch of dorks. I love it. There you go.
Well, thanks, Pat Tro. I can't stop. Yeah. I can't help but think about what they disagree with us on. But.
that's the beauty of it. We really appreciate that. And if you're listening now, reach out, and in a while, we'll send you a sticker.
Yeah, we'll get you one. I know we still have one outstanding, and I apologize. Yeah. That sticker is going to come to you once things settle down.
I think Patro sounds like a dork.
Is this, we'll roast anyone?
I don't like... He's calling us dorks. I think he sounds like a dork. Or she.
Yeah, no.
Hey, yeah, Patro.
You know what? Patro, oh, you should have been signed to four really cool guys.
Well, thanks. We appreciate you doing that and invite everyone else to do the same.
Sam, we can't afford to be insulting people who listen to the show.
That's a big tip of the cap. Patro is loving
and
this.
And
come
I mean,
on.
I think,
that's a tip
I think
of the cap
he actually, he kind of nailed it as well.
I think he did.
Yeah.
Chris, you're a dork.
What I'm saying
is, you three are dorks.
I'm
cool.
Are married. Mike has established on this podcast that he had a prom date. So, like, maybe we're doing okay.
Well, let's get into The Rise of Skywalker, the digital release. The Blu-ray is not out yet. We just have the digital so far. But the exciting thing
and
was...
there's one 3D 4K Blu-ray being shipped from where, Chris? Prague?
Defying all shipping odds, I made it happen. No, I'm just kidding.
There's a shipping container containing only that making its way.
In these times of very strained supply chain, they're still taking one giant shipping container just for your Blu-ray.
Yeah, well, you need it.
Well, so it was a bit of a surprise. On Friday, this past Friday, which was what, the 14th, was it?
The 13th.
The movie was supposed to come out on digital on the 17th. There was a surprise. Mm-hmm. A stir came up on social media. The Rise of Skywalker was available early. They did not do the big promotion where it was Frozen 2 was moved up 3 months to be on Disney Plus. They're not going to do that. But it was still a nice surprise. And my first reaction to this was, usually I am counting down every day until the home release of a Star Wars movie. For a lot of movies, I'm counting down the home release. When I get that digital, I'm automatically downloading it right away, watching as much as I can. I used to always watch the whole movie, but now since life is different and I have adult responsibilities, I usually get to watch like 30 minutes and then I go to bed. But when it came out, I was like, all right, well, I'll watch it, but this is not me the way I used to be, diving into every feature, thrilled about every feature, and using this as like one of those things that is a benchmark on my calendar of I can't wait for that moment. Let me check iTunes all the time to see if they've changed the date of when the digital release is coming out, because that's the way I operate. This one, I wasn't feeling that way at all. And it made me really sad because I felt like this is the perfect time for a Star Wars movie to come out and give us all a moment of respite from what's going on in the world. Give us 2 hours and 20 minutes to think about something else, to be enthralled by the storytelling, to be caught up in the special effects, and to be thinking about what has happened within our world of Star Wars. We didn't get that with this new Episode 9, and they didn't know it was going to happen, obviously, but you wanted to have the experience of, oh, The Last Jedi's here, and let me dive back into this and think about all the things and get a chance to talk to all of you on the podcast about it, and we can focus on that for at least a brief moment to get that time away from what our current state of affairs is. And unfortunately, it just doesn't have that for us because the film ended up being what it is. And I think there are a lot of people, though, who probably did feel that way because they do like the movie, and I'm glad that they were able to do that. I just couldn't feel that way, and it made me kind of long for what we didn't get with this movie, even though watching the documentary gave me a little bit of that, because it was nice to see so many committed people working so hard to make it great, even though it didn't turn out great.
Well, Mike, yeah, you texted us in the middle. You said,
"Yeah,
was watching Rise of Skywalker as an escape from the world. Halfway through, I switched to the CDC website."
Which I didn't quite understand. And also, we were at Mike's apartment, and just the walls are just covered in countdowns, just stitch marks for different various digital releases.
Well, I'm like Ray. I do a scratch mark.
Yep.
You know, it was really nice when they moved up the window for Birds of Prey, because I didn't have to do a lot of scratch marks. Wait,
hold on. Exactly. Hold on. Did they?
Yeah, it's coming out on the 24th. It's Tuesday.
Oh, that's awesome. I do want to see them.
It's great. Go see it.
Man, you heard it here first, folks.
Wow, Patro. We're breaking news.
Patro, you heard it here first.
All right.
But
I echo like a little bit of that sentiment. I mean, it was completely off my radar. I thought I'm notoriously bad with dates, and so I thought it was coming out at the end of the month anyhow. And so when you were texting in the chain, it's like, hey, this is out, I was like, just happened to be browsing iTunes, and I think like I skipped over it like 3 or 4 times when I was just like in the movie library, because like I did not expect it to be out. And then when he's like, you can buy it, I was like, what? And then I just clicked it, and I bought it.
Yeah, well, it is an interesting thing, because to me, I wasn't as excited about the movie being out early as the novelty of a studio doing that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Where I was like, I just need to be part of this.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of how I felt, too. I was like, yeah, I got this. Like,
well, which
right
is
when
why
it happened.
I'm watching Trolls 2 on April 10th, because if it's day and date release, I'm not missing that. I don't know, you know.
I'm in.
I didn't buy it.
Yeah, Mike said that it was a chance for respite. This was a chance for Sam to respite. He respited his nose to cut off his face, Sam.
Well, okay, so
you didn't buy it.
I didn't buy it because. So here's the thing. I assume, you know, eventually I'm going to have, you know, if not ownership, like whatever, like rentalship of this movie through Disney Plus, if I ever want to watch it again. I was so disappointed. I was so underwhelmed. I'm kind of shocked. I'm like shocked that you all bought it. Now, I get it. I get the special features thing. I get the like curiosity. And I love, look, watching, oh my God, watching The Director and the Jedi was like one of the greatest experiences of my life. And then like talking about it on the pod. And so I get that like there's always some excitement around like, you know, Disney and Lucasfilm and Star Wars have always made sure, you know, once it was a phenomenon, to really document the process. And there's so much like rich design and, you know, just like the art of constructing one of these movies. And hearing you guys talk about it makes me want to see that again. But like, I really, really dislike this movie so much that it's like, it's too soon. I can't give this product more money, because that's what it is. It's a product, right? Wow. It's not a movie anymore. It's not a story. It's a product. So I got to know, first of all. So obviously you guys all, to some extent, and we're going to actually, you are going to get into, and I'm going to learn about and listen to what some of these special features were. But did you guys watch the movie? Like, have you rewatched Rise of Skywalker?
Yeah, I watched it.
Okay, I watched 30 minutes.
Is it $19 well spent?
No.
I'd say it is. I mean,
well, here's the thing. If you do what I did, which is you watch the documentary, which we'll get a little into, but the documentary, if nothing else, is at least put telegraphing. I don't know if it's, you know, it may be a brilliant piece of PR, but it's telegraphing that the people making the movie were really trying to make a really good movie, and they were really passionate about it and excited to be there, as opposed to, you know, how we may imagine them, which is just being like, we got to fix everything. This stinks.
Star Wars
So, you know, everybody was really excited. So the goodwill of that, if you go straight into the movie as I did, carries for about 40 minutes, and then you get really, really mad, and then by the end you're really, really mad.
He's a clone that makes like, other clones that was made by another clone?
Yeah, I was watching it again,
clone.
And I was like, maybe the movie's fine. You know, like, maybe it's fine. Like, it's right. The stakes are lower here. I'm just watching it at home. It's like a fine watch. But then by the time all the ships show up at the end on Exegol, I was like, this is so dumb.
I mean, you're describing it like I only watched 30 minutes. You're describing my 30 minutes of basically being like, you know what? I'm actually kind of having fun right now. It's still crazy paced in weird ways, but there's some stuff that it's not bad. I was thinking like, oh no, I don't really want to get to Pisana. And then I thought, you know what? I just saw how they made Pisana and saw how they did all those creature work and all the special effects that went into it. I'm like, wow, there's a lot of dedication here. 30 people under the ground in Jordan operating the puppets. Like,
scorpions.
With scorpions. I need to respect what they did here. So I had to cut it off there because I had to go to sleep, and I'm still kind of vibing on that. But I'm guessing when I turn it back on, I'm not going to feel that way.
Just watch the doc again, and then watch the movie. I was going to say, like, I'm kind of with you there. I did it in the other order. I started watching the movie, and I got about halfway through, and I was like, let's see how they made this thing. so then I watched that, and I had a completely like guttural reaction. I was kind of welling up at parts. Just I think it comes back to, and movie aside, whether you loved it or hated it, that doesn't really matter. I think it's just kind of this like, there are elements of Star Wars that is this like comfy place, and it's nice to see people get excited about it, whether you like it or not. I think it's just, it's great to see that there are people excited about it. Just like how I think prequels had that kind of stigma for a while. It was just like, oh, you like those kind of eye roll thing. But now it's like, yeah, be excited about those movies. I don't know if this will continue that same kind of feeling, but I'm sure for a group of younger people in a younger generation that this was their first foray into Star Wars, I'm sure they'll have great feelings about this. So
and I'll tell
I'm happy
you what,
doc.
As an animatronics head, I walked away from this doc very satisfied.
It's interesting, like your guys' response, because like, you know, without having seen this one, I'm gonna pull a real Sam here and bring in like Batman, but it's like there's the two versions of this movie are like there's Batman v Superman and there's Justice League, which are both movies I hate, but like Batman v Superman I've probably watched 10 times. Like, because I'll watch all like the design documentaries or something, and there's this like weird morbid fascination where it's like I now like have weird fun watching it, being like I'm lamenting all the choices that were made, but like marveling at like the production of them making them.
Yeah,
and that's
sure.
Like one,
Batman
that's
v
like
Superman,
one version, and then
Batman v Superman is like a real movie, especially the director's cut. Again, it's a terrible movie, and I hate it, but it's a real movie that like I disagree with on a conceptual level, but I could be like, well, this is a whole movie. Where like Justice League, you're like, is this a movie?
Yeah, and so like that's the one where it's like, just to finish the thought, it's like that's like no amount of special features or like window dressing can make me go back and like actually have fun watching that movie, because it's just such a mess. And so I was really curious, because I felt the way I felt about The Rise of Skywalker, the way I kind of feel about those two movies, where I'm like, I don't like these movies. I think it's conceptually wrong. I think it's shoddily, well, I like Justice League, but not as bad, nearly as bad. It's like shoddily put together, you know, or rushed or whatever. So I don't know. It sounds like there's a 30 to 40 minute BVS glow on this puppy once you watch the doc or something.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah, I think that's fair. It keeps it shiny for a little bit, and then all of a sudden the polish kind of wears off. It is impressive. I mean, I think obviously we'll get into some of the special features, and I think we could kind of start there. There's a doc that's included with it. It's kind of wrapping up the Skywalker saga through this movie, and it kind of shows what it means to a lot of the cast and the crew and the production people. I mean, I think the scale and the scope of a Star Wars movie, though, is like, it is so impressive to see. They spare literally no expense. Like, and it is just, it's like live action. I don't even know how to describe the things that they've built, things like they constructed in the desert.
When
like,
they showed the Tantive IV, the blockade runner, in on the forest planet, and they're all underneath it, and you're looking at the scale of that next to humans is insane. It was just like, this is so cool that they built that whole thing, and it's, they didn't even need to
like, look at him, just a tiny little Greg Grunberg. Look how far he's
exactly.
Got it.
Yeah, it's like that shot might be 25 seconds. Like,
I would say
it's amazing because after all that, the movie feels so small.
Yeah, you're, that's fair.
They tried hard.
It's the biggest. It's the biggest kind of small movie, you know, where it's just like so much stuff happening in so little places.
Yeah,
yeah. I would say I don't know that the documentary helped my opinion of the Leia CGI. If anything, I had already seen the seams when I watched the movie, and now it's just even more so because, you know, you're seeing these moments where Rey or where Daisy Ridley is acting against, you know, a stand-in. The thing like was Billy Lord being in for her mom in the flashback scene. I thought that was great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, every time that she's, like, kind of on screen as a talking head, she's just so charming, just like her mother was. Yeah. She's just awesome. I wish she had more to do in the movies, honestly.
Oh, in all of them. I saw Booksmart, I didn't realize. I was like, oh, okay, she's in Star Wars. Maybe she isn't, you know, maybe it was mean. She isn't actually like an actress. They're just giving her a few
moments.
Well,
there was no indication really at that point that was like her career choice.
Right. Yeah. Then she's so good in Booksmart.
She's the best.
Amazing.
She's great in Booksmart. She's really good in the first season of, I think it's Scream Queens.
Oh right, she was on that. So sorry for what I said. What I said was erroneous.
Well,
I was just unaware.
Well, The Force Awakens was her first movie as well. Ah. So, The Force Awakens was. So it's like, who knew what would become? But that was a delight to see her kind of interacting on set and kind of giving, I think like her mom's blessing just to the degree that, like she said, and like everyone always kind of says, like, this is the Carrie wouldn't want us to kind of like mourn and be all glummy about this. And so I think having her there and kind of being like, it's okay to like laugh and be happy and celebrate this, I think was like, that was a great thing to show. I was really happy with that.
That's gonna like make me cry. That's like so yeah. sweet. And I hate that it's like this movie doesn't work for me.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's like this documentary, and I think we preface this with like maybe it's part marketing. It did seem like the documentary did try to like show basically like they went to Twitter and like, what are people complaining about? And they're like, well, show them how we made it, and then let's see if they like.
I mean, basically how they made those, the movie too. They went to Twitter and saw how people complained about The Last Jedi. Yeah, exactly.
But also, what surprised me is how little they kind of wallowed in some of the hot topic issues. Like, they didn't really, like, the Palpatine stuff, they kind of just plowed through. Yeah. Like,
they plowed through, but apparently, I actually haven't gotten to this part, but I saw it going around as a couple of memes, or not memes, but just, like, screen grabs, where JJ's explaining, like, oh, well, you know, to explain who she is and how she has this power, it has to come from somewhere. It can't just come from her. It has to come from someone else, and that really doesn't sit well.
There was a line or something. I think the line was, "Well, Star Wars has always been about the Skywalkers and the Palpatine."
That was terrible. Chris, that you was know, I turned to my wife at that point, and I was like, "No, it hasn't."
Exactly. That line, that part right there, I was just like, first off,
it's been about half of that.
There's like this talking head they keep cutting to of like Chris Terrio, who, like, listen, I have no ill will toward Chris Terrio, but it's just like he just says things that I'm just like, I really disagree with your takes on a lot of things that I like. And I think it's him that says, like, it's always been about Skywalkers and Palpatines.
Yeah, it was him. It was him.
It's like there's only been one Palpatine. Again, it's not the Capulets, it's the Montagues.
Yeah, exactly.
And he was only in the last movie of the original trilogy. I mean, he was a bigger part of the prequels, but it's...
Interesting read. Star Wars.
Because, you know, George, when he was thinking about the prequels, was like, it's not about a family, it's about families. Huh. That's how he was thinking about it.
And this little guy is Palpatine. Yeah, maybe.
That's my new George Lucas micro impression.
Palpatine only existed when it was like he needed the foil for Anakin's story. And initially it was like, I need a foil for Anakin's redemption. And then later it was like, I need, that's the perfect foil to represent his fall, you know? And right. You know, but it's like the idea is not about them.
Yeah. I think
I was gonna say, Chris and Ryan, did you notice that it seemed to be a bunch of expanded universe novels sitting on Chris Terrio's desk?
Those are the other things that seemed like they were like really actively trying to show us.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we've got all the content and source material here in front of us.
Don't worry, Terrio and JJ definitely know what happened in all the other parts of the franchise.
Yeah. I mean, I think I texted everyone at the end of this, and when I watched it, I was like, all right, I think I'm kind of off the conspiracy theories of the secret cuts. I think what happens is these two guys, they made the movie that they wanted to make, and that was kind of their perspective of fandom, and it's not necessarily the movie that I would have wanted to see, but I think I'm coming to terms with that. Lots of people worked really hard, as they showed through this documentary. I mean, I think I think this documentary is like a good compliment to the movie. If I had seen this documentary before I ever saw the movie, I'd be like, this is going to be the greatest movie ever made. I almost wish I watched it in that order. Somehow.
I wish they showed it on ABC before the
movie. Exactly. That they should have just showed it.
That was part of my disappointment in the marketing for the movie, and really the marketing for the last few Star Wars movies, is where was like the retrospective? And I think I've talked about this on the pod before. Like, you used to get an ABC Sunday night, 2-hour feature,
Sawyer being like, for the last 40 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Fans around the world.
I mean, I want to
go see
that.
Star Wars. Yeah.
I took a trip to J.J. Abrams' Bad Robot, where they're putting the finishing touches on the end of the Skywalker.
And it shows him like, standing above a computer screen. He's like pointing down to something.
So this
it's
here,
where they
this
say
is
something
a,
like,
a,
it's where the director says something like, Well, you know what? Nobody realizes the most important thing about a Star Wars movie is the sound.
Meet this guy.
You know, it's so funny because, like, when they show the part where they're like, they get to the part in the documentary where Ian McDiarmid is there, and he's also very charming. And, you know, everybody's talking about how the Emperor is coming back, and they're all so excited, and they show him in his costume, and everybody's so stoked, and, oh, it was inevitable. Of course it had to be about this. And if it was beforehand, you'd be like, wow, they're really celibate on this idea. Yeah. But yeah, you can't do that because spoiler culture. So now when I'm watching, I'm just like, look at all these idiots. They don't even know how bad this is.
They don't know.
Be.
Yeah.
They made him, and there's one part where they show him in the red robe, you know, like with the red ascot, and they're like, oh my God, it looks so good. And you're like, oh, you have no idea. It's going to be so weird. It's like, yeah, it was cool for all you. It's like the whole thing's about how, like, Daisy, yeah, John, and Oscar really had fun together.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
like, cool.
Oh, right, yeah.
Well, they're throwing, are we going to talk about Eunice?
I was just going to say, that's making my other point, I forgot to bring her up.
And remember, but, yeah, we're not talking about Jonas, we're talking about Eunice.
Yeah. Although Jonas is great in it as well. Eunice, the stunt coordinator.
Who is just like life incarnate.
Yeah.
She's amazing. She's just amazing, yeah, to watch.
Yeah.
She is.
She knows how to, like, it's clear she knows what she's doing on every level of as far as stunts go. And then it's also amazing to see her interacting with, like, the cast and crew, because she's like, she's giving creative notes. She's going around. She's like, it's very, very funny. I saw that one point when she's like with the ball droid, the training droid with Daisy, she's like trying to get, like, annoy Daisy with it, and then she just starts hitting her with it. It's like, what scenario could you just poke the biggest actor, like, one of the biggest actors in the world?
And it's like, you could tell she oversteps every bound.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like, and everybody's just like, she's just so full of energy. It's a lot of, like, her energy is just infectious, and she's amazing.
Yeah.
You guys realize, so she's, I looked her up, because you guys were talking about her from this documentary, again, I didn't buy the movie, so I don't know any of this. Right?
I think you secretly bought this movie.
You were talking about her, and I was like, I got to look this woman up. I looked her up. So, first of all, she's 53 years old, which I think it's kind of rad that, like, I don't know, just the way you were describing her and the way, like, mm-hmm, I thought at first you were talking about she was Daisy Ridley's stunt double, not, like, the stunt coordinator. Like, oh, so, yeah. I was like, that's fascinating. And anyway, oh, yeah, so yeah, I had that, like, I was, like, confused. Yeah. I'm a confused old man who doesn't have, I didn't buy the thing, so I didn't know what we were talking
stunt
about.
People
but
are
was,
traditionally 30 years older than the actual
It was like I hadn't bought it, but that wasn't stopping me from, like, weighing in fully on the conversation. Yeah. But the other thing is, so she was on, like, the British version of Gladiators, like American Gladiators, except British Gladiators.
And
she was, I forget her name. I think it was, like, Blaze or something. It was really
British Gladiators is like American Gladiators, but they just say "excuse me" a lot more.
They have a break middle of their battle.
Much more polite.
They have high
two. They actually don't hit each other.
Also, Eunice, she's just, like, she's dope as hell. And I think she's overcome, I think, multiple battles with cancer.
Oh,
she's amazing. She seems like an amazingly enthusiastic and professional person. It was just, she was the highlight of the doc for me.
Yeah, that I'm 100% with you. Open door invite, Eunice, if you listen somehow. Please come on the pod. We'd love to hear some war stories.
And again, it's just, I just want to stress that, like, you know, we shouldn't forget that it's, you know, this is the perfect case for anti-ageism, because it's awesome that a 53-year-old can stunt double for Daisy Ridley. That's so cool. She's doubling for her. I think that's great.
Sam, you really need to still watch this.
I will say,
is anti-ageism where they, like, make Sam Jackson look younger in Captain Marvel?
I think that's the whole premise of The Irishman.
Digital anti-ageism.
I feel like there's a lot of great stunts in this movie. I think that even though I thought it didn't have a lot of stakes, the lightsaber battle between them on the Death Star was wonderfully choreographed. Very cool. But I didn't think that the first few things they showed ended up looking that good. I like her a lot, but I think that the moment where she comes down from the rocks looks like Peter Pan. It's so clearly wires, and that didn't work for me. And then the moment in the dock they show the jump, it again doesn't, it just just it didn't look good. But there are great stunts in it. I just those two moments, I was like, wow, those didn't really come together to me in the film.
Jeez,
Mike.
Mike says you nope to Eunice.
Mike, watch that scene again. There's no wires.
Oh yeah, they did paint those out really well.
Actually, there was some things that they showed that I was like, oh, notoriously, I've mentioned this several times in the pod, I am notoriously bad at picking out CG versus real life.
Yeah, you thought the children of Thanos were people in costumes, most notably. when you see the 9-foot-tall Proxima Midnight, Chris said, did you think those were people in costumes, too?
I think there was a lot of things in this movie that now trying to have that bias and looking at it, I'm like, well, that's got to be CGI. Like the little, there's like little critters that are in the foreground of one shot of a pan. And I was like, well, those are definitely CGI. And it turns out they were real.
Yeah.
Someone spent hundreds of hours building and making those.
My oscillation of like emotion during this documentary went from like, you know, seeing how many people were working on things and how much, you know, time it takes to do things, just being like, man, making movies is amazing. And then also seeing how much time goes into things and how many people it takes to do everything and thinking, man, making movies is so dumb.
Well, yeah, it's like, it is at the end of the day, it's like, if you're an actor and like, say you're the greatest actor in the world and then you do a movie like this or anything that's like very physically strenuous and environmentally strenuous, it's like at the end of the day, you're just like a person standing on a platform and they're throwing mud at your face. You're like, that's not my job.
You're supremely overpaid for it though.
Exactly. That's the difference.
If this doc gets anything across, it's that Adam Driver is a complete pro and really was pretty much done with this thing the second he walked off set.
Yeah, what is it? One of the days was his birthday, and he was like, I don't know if that means anything.
Yeah, he had this amazing talking head. He's talking about shooting the Death Star fight, and he's like, I mean, I was on wires and flipping around, like, that's why you go to work. And it was like, that's not what I expect Adam Driver to say.
It's weird.
But you know, like he's a physical dude. He was a Marine and stuff. I'm sure he likes flipping around and stuff.
Yeah,
not that that's exclusive to Marines.
I mean, given the option, if they're like,
you guys know, I was on a wire. Did I ever share this story?
No.
And I was in high school, my freshman
Sam,
year
this is no time to lie.
When I was my freshman year of high school, we did a production of The Wizard of Oz, and the If I Only Had a Brain, the Scarecrow song.
There justice for Petro. Petro was right about us.
There were crows that are his background dancers and singers, and I was a crow, but I was one of the two crows that flew in, and so I was up like 25 feet in the air on a wire that this kid I went to high school with was responsible for putting me back in at the end of the scene. So for about a week, and then the three performances, this kid Davey I went to high school with was like responsible for making sure I was safe like 30 feet in the air.
You know how they choose who gets to hold the wire and who's on the wire? Just who's skinnier.
Yeah, that's exactly
right. You're skinny and you're like a little less skinny, why don't you hold this one up?
Yeah, what happens if I drop it? Don't worry about it, you won't.
That's pretty cool though.
Yeah,
so I'm well,
you know what, Sam, it sounds like it was really cool.
I was just saying,
Patro, like, if you want to follow up a review now to clear up our dork claim.
Sam vehemently denied being a dork at the beginning of this.
I'm just saying, like, me and Adam would probably like have a lot to talk about.
What character were you?
Crow number two.
Crow number two.
You weren't even the titular character.
Okay, that's just mean. Now this feels like bullying.
If you're saying titular character, you're talking about the Wizard of Oz, who actually has a surprisingly small role.
Oh, I don't know what titular means.
But to answer your question, Sam was not the Scarecrow, no.
Oh.
I was not the Scarecrow. I was one of the crows, and no, I didn't have a name.
Do you remember who was the Scarecrow? Are they an actor now? Professional?
Actually, he's a professional
dancer.
Don't
say their name.
Actually, he's a professional dancer. He's very good.
Well, sounds like he was cast correctly then.
There you go.
And you are a professional crow on wires.
It's true.
You and Chris go to the park in the morning sometimes, yeah, right?
Sam, is it true that crows are one of your favorite meals also?
Well, speaking of...
Sam, well, that's impressive.
Speaking of crows and
which part of that is impressive?
Moving on.
I mean, bringing it back to something that wasn't a full meal, you know, Rise of Skywalker.
Did I ever tell you guys
that
I was in the first ever junior high school production of Footloose? This is true. This is true. This is a true story.
Why do I try to transition? I don't even know what I'm doing.
Well, I just feel like I very rarely get to talk about this. This is the closest we'll ever be on the podcast to it being a sequitur of some sort. I was in the first ever junior high school production of the Footloose musical.
And that's awesome.
That's not nothing, my friends.
That's pretty cool.
Well, Chris was nicely.
That's a world record, you know. We had the Guinness adjudicator
right,
there
Chris?
To say, indeed, is this is happening.
Well, you have a Guinness
I
world
punk
record
number two, and I was not carried by anyone on wires. I was not, I was more of a carrier than a wirer, if you know what I mean. In junior high school,
in theater, you're either a carrier or you're a wire.
I was a little. I had to shop in the Husky section, if you know what I mean.
Look, if we're doing this, I was in the Crucible my sophomore year.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, who were you?
Gosh.
I was known as Undertaker Number Two.
Undertaker.
Oh, the second.
Yeah.
The
so
second
when
Undertaker.
When they the judge would
for when the first one misses.
Yeah. Well, exactly. No, the two of us would come out and take the women away to be killed.
She's Louise.
Yeah.
That and Chris?
All right. Well, I've got a whole resume of plays, but I was the Hatter in Fiddler on the Roof, and then and Into the Woods, they dual cast my role as the Stewart. And they're like, well, you actually want to make it two roles. I was like,
wait, your high school in Central Pennsylvania did Fiddler on the Roof?
Yeah, we did Fiddler on the Roof.
It sounds problematic.
Yeah, yeah, I think it was. No, it wasn't. We, I mean,
was
yeah.
It a Catholic high school?
Yeah, it was a Catholic high school. I was just going to say that. Yeah, but the music is great. And you know what? It was good. I was almost going to make a joke. I was going to say, well, half of that is just the Old Testament. We can cut that.
Lord.
But,
Chris, what part did you play in?
Hold on. We're going to cut that. We're going to come back in 3, 2, 1.
Wait,
go
what
on.
Are we cutting?
Chris, what part?
My Old Testament joke.
It wasn't that bad.
Stop saying it.
All right, leave it in. I don't care.
I'm leaving all this in. People need this now.
Weren't you in, what's the show with Nicely? Weren't you
Oh, no, it was Nathan Detroit.
You were Nathan Detroit.
Oh, yes, yeah, and Guys and Dolls.
We went to Chris's hometown once, and he like claimed to be a local celebrity who is the lead in all the plays.
I was wearing sunglasses. Like, hey, if people call me Hollywood, don't worry about it.
Does the Hatter have any songs in Fiddler in the Roof? Like, did you have
no,
a solo
the Hatter
song?
The Hatter just says, would you like to buy a hat?
Always a Hatter, never a Tapia. You know what I mean?
And then I added the line, I'll tell you, they ain't cheap.
You improv'd it?
I improv'd the line.
Did it get a laugh?
It did get a laugh.
Nice.
You know, I improv'd the line of Fiddler on the Roof.
Sam,
a
if
play
you're,
that's been written.
If your insults didn't get rid of our one reviewer from earlier in this pod, I think this whole conversation's probably ended that. We
hey,
lost that listener.
Droid heads out there, yeah. Write in, what parts did you play in productions? And what parts would you have liked to have played in production? Hashtag
Star Wars. Do you know,
I
tangentially, tangentially and not about myself, but one of Wes Anderson's first productions of something in front of a public audience was a live-action version of Star Wars.
How about that?
Hmm.
Didn't Mike, that. Get us back on track.
All right, here we go. Well, that from there. You know, Babu Frick is something that we all can agree on. And everyone loves good old Babu. And is it Shirley? What's her last name? Is it
Shirley
Henderson?
Henderson.
Henderson. From fame of, as Ryan and I well know, Intermission.
Of course.
She plays in
John
Myrtle.
Crowley's
and of
Intermission.
Course, also, Harry Potter. And she plays Moaning Myrtle throughout all of those films. And here she is as Babu Frick. And, you know, that part is apparently, even though I haven't gotten that far in the documentary, both Chris and Ryan have, I hear it's one of the highlights.
Well, yeah. First off, Shirley Henderson has exactly the kind of energy you'd think she'd have. So she's kind of amazing that way. She's just kind of like, yes, I'm here, whatever. What's the coolest thing about it is that they show the evolution of Babu Frick. So they show first like a prototype puppet of him that's operated by like three people, each holding like different rods. And it's like they pick it up and it's just like he's just gray at this point on like a black background. And they immediately start puppeting him. And it's this amazing moment that you see happen on screen of like, that's a puppet, and then like that's a living thing, and like it's just amazing the craftsmanship on display in all way of making the puppets, of puppeteering them. But then the coolest thing is that they taught Shirley Henderson on site how to operate Babu Frick's head, like the animatronic. Like they literally just gave her the controller and taught her how to do it so that she could operate his head while she was voicing him on set. That's awesome. The most fun thing to watch.
Yeah, that was a delight to watch. And then she was also just kind of ad-libbing and cracking people up at one point.
And she doesn't smile once.
Oh, really?
She just looks like she's like exhausted and like couldn't be bothered, but is like having the time of her life at the same time.
This is the stuff that kills me between this and like the Billy Lord stuff and talking about Eunice. It's like, and obviously all like just all the design teams and production designers, like I know this thing was made with love. I'm just hoping at this point that when it hits Disney Plus, I'm sure I'll watch it again at some point. I hope that over time it settles somewhere in the same way that the movies that I have at the bottom of my Star Wars ranking now, if this stays near the bottom, I hope it finds a place that I enjoy it as much as I enjoy those, or close to as much, where it's just for me, if there is such a thing, a lesser Star Wars movie. It makes me feel a lot better about the movie. But I also can't help but wonder, like, it would be a bit jaded and be like, well, is this just all marketing? Like, did they put this documentary together to convince us that it was made with love?
Wasn't. I don't know. There's so many people, though. I find it very genuine. Talking about Eunice, she's incredibly genuine in this. I think there's a lot of people. Yeah. Jonas as well, not just because their names sound similar. But, obviously Daisy Ridley, John Boyega, and Oscar Isaac are having a lot of fun with this. Neil Scanlon, I mean, biggest tip of the cat to him and his entire team. Claude, as you see more of Claude, as you see the driver of the vehicle that Lando's in on Passana, and those eyes, what beautiful, like crazy blue eyes. Their work is incredible, and it's just a shame that, I don't know, like, it kind of even is forgotten in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, I think we could just leave it at their work is incredible. I mean, like you said, it is, I think they are being genuine. There's a nice scene at the end, and do you care if I say it? I know you haven't finished it.
Yeah, go for it.
It's like basically the credits roll, and they show everybody. They do one of those like kind of set montages of people like dancing on the set, and so they have like a clip show, all that. But then at the end, they show there's a door, and they said it's a door that was probably like whatever the Lucasfilm offices were at in Pinewood Studios, and it's my guess. It could be at the other studios in LA or Bad Robot, but there's a door and it had all these like little hash marks on it. And they were the heights of the actors each year that came in for fittings. And so it was like, how you do on the side of a wall, you measure your height. And so there was a guy, I don't know who it was, but he was just kind of standing there and he's like pointing out, he said like, yeah, every year we measure their heights. And then he kind of like, it was clear they were like packing stuff up, and he was looking at the door, and he kind of was like just pointing at names. He's like, "Oh, there's Daisy, or there's Mark, there's Carrie," and he's like, "There's a lot of people that have gone through that door," and like I thought that was like a very cool way to kind of end that documentary, and to me that actually like was a very like moving way to almost end the Skywalker saga. It was kind of like, yeah, like that door was open. A lot of amazing things happen, and now we've closed that door. I just thought that was like It's at the very, very end, post credits. I just like that little button really got me.
Well, take a look, watch the documentary. If you've already downloaded the movie, if you've already paid for it, or wait for it for Disney Plus, like Sam, you got to check it out. It is worth it. It does tie so much together. There's obviously the marketing side of it to make it all feel connected, but there is a lot that you could take away from it, and really gives you, you know, some positivity, some hope, some great, you know, feelings at this time, and we all need that. So maybe the movie doesn't give it to you, but the documentary does, and that's all worth it to us. So that's going to do it for this edition of The Droids. Stay safe, everyone out there. Droids, stay safe. Always a pleasure to be here talking, and as we move forward in the next few weeks, I can't wait to do more of this because it's always a pleasure.
Yeah, stay healthy, everybody. I know we had some, you know, we had some laughs, but this is obviously a very serious thing affecting countless people, so we hope that everybody out there is staying safe and healthy, and if you're sick, getting better, and you know, all the good vibes to everybody.
It's yeah, and wash your hands and your fingers.
Yeah. And your fingers.
Hey, as the Star Wars fans, we have the benefit of saying the Force will be with you always. What they throw. Annie? Babu.
Hey, Eunice was the stunt double for Xenia Onatopp in GoldenEye.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was gonna say don't forget to wash your Eunice, but I thought that might be inappropriate.
I don't know what that means.